My Memory, the podcast about movies, memories, and refreshing beverages. I'm Eric Fell.
I'm Jason Dedrick.
And I'm Vicky Van.
We are going to be talking about 1999's The Matrix, directed by the Wachowskis. So, The Matrix.
Yes. I remember watching it for the first time at Strawberry Hill Cinemas in Surrey with my best friend. And after the opening scene where Trinity kicks ass, she leaned over and said, "I think I'm a little bit gay." It was so sexy and so like
not the first time I've heard this.
Yeah.
Not the first time I've heard this week when I get pictures of people I know. It seems that it had that effect on quite a few people.
Yeah. Yeah. That was quite the scene. Quite the character.
Yeah.
I remember it just blew my mind. It was amazing. It was one of those roles where Keanu Reeves actually is quite perfect for it. Like, he doesn't have an extreme range, but when he's in the right role, he's just like, it's just spot on.
Yeah, he's perfectly cast as, and it's funny because watching it, some people were, you know, ragging on his performance. Mm. But it's like, no, he's playing a guy who's having trouble accepting reality.
Yeah.
So he's going to be detached.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah. See, I never saw it back in the day. This was my first time viewing it. It was 2 days ago.
So. Very cool. Very cool. So what are your impressions of it?
It's all right.
Now, did you take into account that the movie is now 25 years old?
Yes, that's what I do. Yeah. I wait 25 years at least just to get... Yeah. What I thought was great about it for me seeing it now was... I was still surprised by everything in it. Even mm-hmm. though there's been countless references in various sketch comedy and everything else since then, whether it's the green tinge to everything or whether it's the choice of two pills or a myriad of other stuff. None of it was so ruined. Nothing ruined it for me. I was like, oh, that's the thing. Okay, well, that's all right. Everything was minor. So I really got a kick out of it from that aspect. Nothing was ruined for me. But I did not... Because of the 25 years, I was not blown away by it. And so that's why I'm eager to hear your stories. Because was this like the beginning of wire work, for example? Is this the first time that we had a big use of wire work?
Maybe in Western film, but definitely in Asian cinema, it was, you know, standard for martial arts movies. The bullet time thing they made a huge deal out of because they invented that for the film.
Okay.
Which I'm not sure if they did because I recall seeing it was either a beer ad or a Rolling Stones video that had already done that.
Okay.
And I was like, everybody's like, oh, the bullet. I was like, I've seen this in something before.
Maybe it was the first movie they used it in.
Maybe it was like that specific technique they used, but there was like a version of that. I swear it was either in a Stones video or like a Budweiser commercial. I forget which one. Maybe it was a beer commercial with the Stones in it.
Yeah. That could be, because that's a fun, those are two divergent things, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was it a beer commercial or was it the Rolling Stones?
It was something, and I did see it opening day at Strawberry Hill Cinemas.
They're probably in the same theater.
Oh, probably. Yeah, I had some cool memories of it because I saw the trailer. And if you recall the trailer, they don't tell you anything about the movie. They show you some cool action stuff. And then Morpheus, oh, and I can do the voice because my voice has been gone. Is no one can be told what the Matrix is. And you're like, okay. Their official website was whatisthematrix.com. Mm. So nothing. And that was the thing was you go see it. You don't know what it is.
Right.
So you're going in. You think it's an action movie, but something else is up. And then... when you go on that journey, you're really going on that journey with Neo. So you're learning as Neo is learning because of the way the film was marketed, which I think is brilliant. And I wish more movies would do that.
Yeah.
I wish more, I guess it's just like, oh, we can't take the risk. We better show all the...
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. Show everything.
Yeah.
Well, that, and again, I had that going into this for whatever reason because it hadn't saturated me. So, in fact, there was a couple of glitches that happened in the Blu-ray as I was watching it. And I thought, is that... I've heard of a glitch in the Matrix. Is there a problem with my Blu-ray? And because I was watching it on the PlayStation 4, the control never makes any sense to me.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I couldn't back it up. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't think it was a glitch in the Matrix.
You have to like pull the trigger and use the analog controller. Yeah. Well, that actually reminds me of Tron, which I used to joke that the Matrix is Tron Inside Out. Which makes actually no sense, but it's just fun to say and it sounds profound. You remember there were some like errors in Tron, like in the animation or something like that, where there's this flash that happened because of an error in a machine every few seconds. Mm. So what they did was they added a sound effect to that flash, and then it just became part of the world of Tron. So kind of, yeah, well, you just always kind of reminded me of that, but it's like, yeah, is it? You know, is it real? I watched the movie Megan, and one of the things is you think there's a problem because you're watching it streaming, and you suddenly get that loading ring in the middle of the screen, and you're like, oh crap. Mm. And then the loading ring becomes the G in Megan, and you're like, oh, you got me. So it wouldn't surprise me if someone did a movie with those glitches in it. And yeah, glitch in the Matrix. But yeah, I remember seeing going, oh, this is fun. It was really visually just, you know, was amazing. And yeah, the everything since, like, it's a movie that so much stuff has taken. It's like Alien, where so much has been taken from that movie and used in other things that there is a danger that it's lost its luster. I'm glad to hear that for your first time watching it, you were still like, oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. As I say, the only thing that I didn't leave with was a desire to see more.
Yeah, kind of, you know, ends on a button and, you know, you don't need the other films for this film. It
ends really, really well.
Yeah.
And it ends really, really... it's really efficient with its time.
Yeah.
And I was looking at other movies, Net Made Now, and I was looking at a couple other films, because it really struck me that the movies that I find really satisfying, the A story and the B story, seem to wrap up real, like really close to each other, really close to the end. And I think we timed it. I think Katie and I timed it. And it was like from the time that, spoiler alert, Neo comes back to life because of Trinity. So that's the B story. You've got your plot between the two of them. And the time that Agent Smith explodes, which is the A story, is a couple of minutes. Mm. And the same thing is, and normally I wouldn't talk about this movie, but the time between Obi-Wan telling Luke to use the Force and then Han Solo comes and saves the day and then the Death Star blows up, is about a minute.
Oh.
and then both of them just end within 3 minutes. The movie's over.
Right.
And then I saw some other more modern films, and I'm not going to mention their names, but there's one where the sort of A story ends, and then the B story ends like 8 or 9 minutes later, and then there's a 4 minute, then there's like a, I think, a long resolution, and then there's a mid-credit sequence. And it's like, this is far less satisfying. And I find a lot of movies today are like that, where they don't, like, I don't know, it may be a brain chemistry thing where we're very satisfied when something connects and something wraps up. Yeah. So we've got those two things happening at once and then an explosion. It's our brains going, yes, thank you. And it's like, oh yeah, we got to get out of here.
Resolution, and then something shiny.
Yeah. And then everybody gets a medal or somebody flies out of a phone booth.
Faulty Towers equation. Everything collapses in that last.
Yes. Same with Seinfeld.
Right.
I mean, in my opinion, the greatest moment in Seinfeld is the moment where George holds up the golf ball in the marine biologist episode. Watch the episode about where people think George is a marine biologist. And it's like every single plot line just wraps up as soon as he holds up that golf ball. And it's just like, yes!
Pay off!
Yeah. But it was really cool. But it also reminded me of the people around that time who, not just the action movie people who remade, you know, who just took from it. But, oh, I knew people who really wanted that look.
Mm.
Right.
Really, really wanted that look. And they really, like, there was a moment in the movie where they're all kind of getting out of the car in slow motion, like, oh God, I remember this. I remember people wanting to be this. And like, this came out around the same time as Fight Club. So it was like, people fashion. Trying to do that too. And it was like, oh, they weren't my pals.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's where goths kind of evolved to for a time.
Yeah.
That it went from, you know,
oh, yeah.
Victorian goths to PVC goths.
Well, right. In between was the Crow.
Oh, the Crow. Oh, yeah.
The Crow. That was a nice mid-90s goth look.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, to the point where I think leather. Eric Draven was a goth
yeah.
rocker.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
It's been so long sorta. Since I've seen that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That movie makes me sad.
Yeah. Yeah, they're remaking it and it doesn't look good.
And that makes me sad. Yeah. But yeah, with I only saw the first, I know we're here to talk about The Matrix, not the sequels, but I only saw the first sequel. I only saw the second movie and I went, I'm out. Yeah. I'm good.
And that's why I said, because there was a friend of ours that was like, oh, The Matrix 2 is coming up. We got all, everybody, we're all going to go see it. We're all yep. going to get in a wagon together. We're all going to go see it. And I was at that time saying, I didn't see the first one. And again, it was like, what? People bent back. They swayed wildly around hearing my news.
Oh.
And so I didn't see it. And then but everybody was, sorry.
I was going to say, we found out your middle name is Blue Pill.
Secrets. And so everybody went and saw it and they didn't like it. And that's why I wanted to know, because at the end of this one, if somebody had said, hey, there's more of the story, I said, I don't need any more of the story. And so what was everybody looking forward to when they did go to see the sequel? And how were you disappointed? Well, we're not talking about it, so.
Yeah. I want to talk about stuff I like, and I really like The Matrix.
Okay, that we're talking about it.
That first one, I really like it. And it is a lot of fun. And I love some Joe Pantoliano.
Joey Pants.
Loves Joey Pants.
Everybody loves some Joey Pants. I had forgotten his character's name in the movie, and every time I described him, I'm like, you know, it's the guy with the steak. And everyone's like, oh, the steak. And it's such a small moment in the movie, but you remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I think is, you know, a testament to everything about the movie. Mm. And yeah, and another thing too, is just like, we looked at like the 16 minutes before the end of a film. 16 minutes before the end of The Matrix, they're still in that subway. In that last 16 minutes, it's the subway fight, and then the robots come attack, and then Neo dies in the apartment hallway.
Yeah.
And then all of that happens in just 16 minutes. Yeah.
That's compact.
Yeah. And to compare it with Star Wars, between that 16 minutes before the end is when Luke takes off as an X-Wing. That whole end part is 16 minutes long. Same with The Matrix. It's just 16 minutes of just action. Everybody remembers all of it.
Yeah.
Which is so cool.
Wow.
And in this movie, a lot of drinking. Does that, if you're submerged in a pot of goo, does that count as drinking?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, you got that. You got the really long straw that goes all the way to your stomach. I recall that. Oh, a good de-intubation scene. Oh boy, that actually activated my gag reflex when I saw. I was like, oh,
yeah.
So effective filmmaking.
Yes.
Or just real bad day on set for Keanu.
Yeah.
Did you know that there's a drink called The Matrix?
What?
I know. It's from the Nick Fisher book, Cocktail Chemistry, The Art and Science of Drinks from Iconic TV Shows and Movies. Oh, no, Movies. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I want one from Movies.
No, you'll have to get one from Moby. This has an ounce of high-proof rum. It's going to have a half ounce of green chartreuse, although we didn't have green chartreuse. We subbed melon liqueur. So it's going to be a different flavor there, because I think chartreuse is a little bit more herby, right? Mm. It's a little bit more
medicinal.
Yeah, medicinal, but sweet medicinal.
Okay.
Not Benadryl. Dimetapp in the old days.
Oh, I love a bit of Dimetapp.
3/4 ounce of cream of coconut, 1 ounce of pineapple juice, 3/4 ounce of lime juice, and 1/2 ounce of banana milk made by adding a banana to a cup of milk and blending it up.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Did you say Edna Banana? I heard made by Edna Banana.
Well, that's, yeah, Ian's neighbor, Edna Banana.
So it's like German chocolate cake. It was just invented by a guy whose name was German.
Okay. Oh, right. Well, German chocolate, right? Yeah. It was, old Joe German made the chocolate and they used it in the cake.
Yeah. So it was like Edna Banana.
Adding a banana.
Oh.
Sorry. So I'm betting that this is going to be more of that green color that we saw. It was a little bit Joe versus the Volcano, actually. Mm. A lot of those office scenes made me think of Joe versus the Volcano.
Yeah, they desaturated it, or they took out the blues or the greens?
The colors?
No, they made it blue.
Depending on the home video release you see,
oh, yes,
the colors are different. There's a big controversy about the amount of green in The Matrix. I think the 4K edition is the closest to the theatrical release, but there were some Blu-rays where they just went, just green it up.
I had a Blu-ray. I wonder if I had a greened up Blu-ray.
Because, yeah. I mean, I had the 4K and it was pretty green. And by the way, oh my gosh, it looks so good. You can't film a dark scene like that anymore without it looking muddy. And it looks so gorgeous. honestly, the scene like where the power goes out right after they kiss, and you just see like the black and the outlines of their faces. And it's oh man, oh, that is a hot dog. That is a well shot film.
Well, let's see if this is a well shot drink.
Hey.
We got some ice in here, then we're gonna pour it over ice in the glass.
Okay.
And we'll just see how matrixy this looks.
What's wild is Jason doesn't even have a shaker.
It's just the loose tooth in the back of my mouth.
Oh, that
That is
pale.
Very. That's what my Blu-ray looked like.
That's not a lime green.
Yeah, I'm half expecting it to taste like a shamrock shake.
The melon liqueur should probably drift away from that, but who knows what the coconut and banana will do, too, and pineapple. Oh my gosh, it's never ending.
Hey, when you said high proof rum, what's the proof on that? Because you're pouring a lot into those glasses.
Well, we want to finish it off. Ladies and gents.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Ooh.
I like it. Oh. That is just dangerously tasty.
It is. Yes, that is nice. I really get a big hit of melon off of it.
Yep.
And so it would be interesting to see what the chartreuse did, but heck, I would drink that. And you'd never have to share it, because if somebody saw it, they would say, I don't think I'm going to have that drink. Because it is an off-puttingish. Oh,
it kind of reminds me, every St. Patrick's Day, what I would do is I would put green food coloring in the milk. And my mom would make tea in the morning with milk in it. And my mom would get so mad. Just every morning, or every St. Patrick's Day morning, you just hear, Eric! Eric, middle name fell!
Bluebell?
Yeah, I got the full name. Yeah. I got full named every year. And it's about this color. And it tastes the same. It tastes the same.
Yeah, you can't put enough food coloring in to make it taste like blue, my old Tequila Mockingbird story with Mike.
Yes.
Put more blue in it. Ooh, yeah. Not helping. Yeah, that's good. What was the other drink that we had recently?
Was it Tron? With the banana, blue...
But it had all of that stuff in it that shouldn't have worked. The Grand Marnier and the apple juice
Terminator.
And the applesauce. Was it the Terminator? Yeah. Yes. I don't know. A night of drinking Terminators and Matrixes would be a pretty good night.
So what you're saying is the drink that makes the robots win.
Well, yeah. Hey, let's... Yeah, we might have to get into that. But not before we have some steak.
Oh, is it steak, though? Or do you know that it isn't steak?
These are Jack Links. Which is actually what...
that's Edna Banana's husband, Jack Links.
I think that was Keanu, that in the first draft, that's what Keanu's character was called.
It was called Jack Links.
Yeah, Jack Links, extra thick cut beef steak strips, sort of a jerky. And for all of our listeners listening in at their home office and in the car, Eric has never had any form of jerky before.
I've never had any form of jerky before. Let me reiterate. This is it. This is my first step into the world of jerky.
When we did Jaws, I had never seen Jaws, even though it had been out for all these years. This is, jerky is Eric's Jaws.
Yeah. Time to wake up, Eric.
Help yourself. I think you could use a hand.
Sure, I'm going to put it over here so Vicky can have some,
okay,
too.
Okay, I'm going to grab
and
this.
Vicky
here.
Has meat?
You know what? I'm going to go big. I'm going to grab this biggest, the biggest piece. It's a thumb-sized and shaped piece.
Dive in.
Oh, it really smells like the treats I used to give my dog.
Yeah, I think it's sort of the same factory. But there's a slim chance that you're going to love jerky and it's going to be all jerky and hardtack for you from now on.
It's a nice dry food you can carry around with you.
Yeah, just keep it in my pocket. This is my pocket jerky. Just a fistful of jerky. My favorite of the Sergio Leone spaghetti westerns. Oh, no, I like it.
Oh,
I do like it. Oh, no. Just yesterday, I said to myself and to Katie, because Katie was in the room while I was talking to myself, I got to cut down on red meat. And now I've discovered an entirely new red meat delivery system. The jerky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how well it goes with the Matrix drink, the banana, melon.
Yeah.
But
if this is how they were trying to convince Joey Pants to to betray everybody, I don't know if the Matrix and some jerky would do it.
Yeah.
But, it's like a sort of a chewy cigarette.
So if we were going to make up a drink... Make 'em ups for the Matrix, 1999. What there's some drinking in the movie. There's red wine. There's tea. There's
whatever they're drinking on the Nebuchadnezzar that they say it's good for two things: killing brain cells and
another moonshiny sort of river. That's right.
Yeah, and something else.
Like cleaning parts or something.
I can only hear from Parks and Recreation. Don't drink that. It's used to strip the paint off of speedboats.
Should be green, I think.
Should be green.
Yeah.
Or I've seen drinks that are either red or blue, red or blue pill.
Like the red or blue pills. Although I don't like the way that the language of this film has been misused for nefarious purposes.
Yes.
But I want to talk about fun stuff. I just needed to bring that up. Yeah. What about something about the red dress?
Ooh, the red dress.
Right, the red dress. That's something that really stands out in the movie.
Mm.
Because, we're currently drinking a green drink. And I'm just like, what about a drink with melon liqueur and high proof rum and coconut? Because I'm drinking this right now. And I have the attention span of a goldfish. And all I'm thinking about is more jerky.
It would be neat, but it would be impossible. It wouldn't be impossible, just too much work. But I'm just going to describe it as if you made an ice cube.
An ice cube.
And there was a little divot in it. Okay? You make half an ice cube. You put red food coloring into that little divot, freeze that, put more water on top. So now you've got an ice cube with a red little bloob in the middle of it.
Wait, is that the caramel secret?
As told by Edna Banana. Then the drink itself is mostly like a Sprite and vodka, but the ice cube that's in it has a red pill basically looking like in it. And when that finally did melt, it would turn the drink red, the girl in the red dress.
Oh.
Masterpiece.
Oh, that is amazing. So how do we propose this in such a way that our producer would be conceivably able to make this?
I think you could also buy pill shells.
Oh.
Like the shell of a pill that dissolves in water.
The gelatin.
Gelatin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could even use like some sort of tablet, like a Hydrolite tablet.
What's a Hydrolite tablet?
Oh well, Hydrolite
is
an electrolyte drink that worked real well for hangovers.
Good to know.
Real well for hangovers. You can buy it in little pills or little tubes, and they've got little tablets like Alka-Seltzer, and they fizz. Stuff.
Oh. But no flavor?
Oh, yes. There's flavors. There's orange. There's pina colada. I'm sure there's a red one.
Of the dog.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would advise to mix with alcohol. Mm. But hey, we've thought of worse. But is there a way we can do that? Or is there another way we can work around red dress? Or is there another idea?
Hmm. I keep coming back to like cranberry juice, but we've used cranberry juice often.
Well, that's because it's such a fun tart mixer.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, it's...
I mean, we could have a drink with a red pill in it. It could be a maraschino cherry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you could. As long as we're going to have it clear so that you can see that there's a nice red goose in it.
What if the drink was... I got two options here. What if the drink was, it was a clear drink, but it had sort of green tinge to it. So say like adding sourpuss and then having the cherry in there as the red dress, or because everybody was dressed in black and white in that scene. Mm. Everybody, of course, except for the girl in the red dress or the woman in the red dress. What if it was an opaque white drink and then the cherry was in the middle of it?
Oh.
And then you notice it as time goes on.
Yes, it reveals itself.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a neat idea, too. How about we do them both and you have to choose which one you're going to do?
So, final thoughts on The Matrix.
This might get me in trouble, but trouble's my middle name. Bluebell.
I said I was Blue Pill.
Oh, Blue Pill.
Yeah, it was a reference to a film called The Matrix.
I should see that. Give me 25 years. I think just we had the pandemic, and the world's been rough the past, 10 to 100 years. But the last 10 have been really sticky. And so now these plot points in both the Terminator in this, where the human race is used for something else other than humans, I don't find it to be such a bad idea anymore.
I mean, that steak looks real good.
That's right. Maybe a few more humans should be harvested. Is that a bad thing to say? You know what I mean? Okay. I saw a trailer the other day for some new DreamWorks cartoon called The Wild Robot. Have you seen this?
I have not.
Okay. No. And I couldn't tell exactly from what's going on, but it looks like, my guess is, some Apple product gets loose. You know, it's a user-friendly looking robot character, but okay. It seems to have ended up in nature. And all of the quick clips of it, were it bonding or being attacked by a bear? But the whole vibe was this robot learning about nature from the wilderness. Now, whether this is a post-apocalyptic thing and humans are gone, or whether that's going to be some other... There's some explosions in it, so I don't know. Something bad is going to happen. But, you know, I found myself looking at this going, oh, man. So the robot, yeah, he would have no interest in eating any of these things. And so if his task was to take care of it, a la Bruce Dern and Silent Running, you know... There's never going to be a problem. Whereas if you put the human in charge of the chicks, he's going to eat three of them before.
Do you think they pitched lunch. The movie as Wall Ecosystem?
I hope so.
There was one thing that stuck with me. I don't know if you noticed this, but there was a scene that has never quite worked for me. And it's the scene that I know so many people think is the coolest scene in the movie, which is the lobby gunfight. Basically the gun porn scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's something that always kind of stuck weird with me. And I think I figured it out today when I was watching it. There's a part of the movie where Morpheus... Oh, I need to clear my throat. Pardon me. Jerky.
Oh, I thought you were segueing into your Morpheus impersonation.
There's a point in the movie where it's actually the woman in the red dress scene, I think, where Morpheus says something along the lines of, you know, these are all people that need to be freed, but they're part of the system. So until we free them, they are your enemies. So these are all, every single person in this movie is an innocent, you know, pawn in this huge thing. And boy, a lot of them get shot up in that scene. So keeping that in mind and watching the security guards get killed, it really kind of, it left a bad taste in my mouth where I'm just like, yeah, if they had said something like, oh, anybody with a gun is a program or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was, it was something that I went, oh, I think this is what kind of bugged me about it. And I didn't really figure out until now that Yeah, they're just, well, it's okay to kill these people that we're trying to save by our own hand if, you know,
if it means, in our way.
Yeah. Yeah. If yeah. it means we save everybody else. It's like, that didn't sit great with me.
No.
But
that's interesting you say that, because I did think the same thing at the time, because I say, well, this is one of those things where five guys just doing their job. Hey, you can't bring a bunch of guns in here. Oh, yeah? Boobity, 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 yeah. boom. And I just imagined the pod thing is like with five toilets. They get sucked down wherever that goes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you don't get to come back. There's not a do-over for those harvested people.
Yeah. Yeah, it just sat weird with me.
Right. Mm. But then by the time he's doing a cartwheel and shooting, I had forgotten all about the security guards. And I was thinking, I don't know if I needed the cartwheel, but I certainly get the idea of the fun of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Final thoughts, Vicky?
I guess watching it now, I was just reminded about Johnny Mnemonic, how crappy that movie was, but how there are certain scenes in it that are great. But and they like when Keanu Reeves gets really upset, he does really upset really well. But this is kind of a step up from it's the same genre. But
I mean, the first part of this movie, I'm just like William Gibson, yeah. Gibson,
yeah, totally. Yeah, it's kind of part of my late teens world, so it's hard to be critical about it. And but it's stood up. The kind of Kafka-esque interrogation scene at the beginning of the movie is really creepy, and it all kind of still hits in the same way. So I don't know if I can be super critical about it because it's so part of that time for me, you know. I think I was 19. No.
Which movie are we talking about?
This
here?
This.
First. Oh, I thought you were still talking about, Johnny Mnemonic this whole time.
99. I would have been.
I was born
75.
In... Okay.
85. 95. 20. I've lost it again. I've had too much of this damn drink. Born in 75. How old was
I? Born in 75. Well, I was born in 76, and I was 23 when it came out.
Okay, yeah. So just the right age for this.
I think
it's just mature enough to be a little too old for a 15-year-old or 16-year-old. But once you're in your 20s, it's kind of made for you.
Right.
That audience.
I was 30, so that's why I couldn't see it.
Okay.
I
was just, yeah. I can't. They turned you away at the door. I
understand nothing about nothing. No, as I say, I was glad to see it. It was actually when you guys had, we were looking for a movie, it was a customer of mine, a dear fella named Dr. Cooper, who had said, he was joking about The Matrix, and I said, I've never seen The Matrix. And he did the same reaction again, so... if you have any movie suggestions, by all means, send them on in. You'll sometimes listen.
And if you'd like to make any of the drinks featured in today's podcast, and send pictures to sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. And movie suggestions are always, always welcome. I'm Eric Fell. Thank you. I forgot how to end things. I'm so sorry. Please continue on without me. I'm humiliated. I'll just have this last piece of jerky.
Okay. I'm Vicky Dan.
Chewy cigarettes. I'm Jason Dedrick.